And a half hours of pop culture tonight, everybody. That's what we're doing. Just pop culture. That's it.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. We appreciate you guys tuning in. This is a Sliwa show. Lakers finally on a break, and I think a good break to be on. And I'm not just talking about the 41-12, but what a season so far for the Lakers. It has been like nothing, no other franchise has endured in all of sports. And obviously you guys know what I'm referring to when I say that. I was hyping up yesterday's game. I went on Twitter saying, man, I was trying to hype it up, telling all Laker fans out there, this is a big game. This is an important game for the Los Angeles Lakers right before the All-Star break. Quickly, people are responding. It's February. Relax. But I've been doing that, I think, for a lot of these games. We got a lot of Los Angeles Lakers basketball that I want to get into. And if you guys were just listening to Mason and Ireland, or I know you guys were, you know, one of the questions that I was kind of waiting for, no matter what happened yesterday, I wanted to grade the Los Angeles Lakers through the first 53 games. I'm not going to say the halfway point. Halfway would have been 41. We know how this All-Star break works. Only 29 games left in the season. What grade would you give the Los Angeles Lakers? And if you guys heard me, I'm going to kind of explain my thought process here, and I want to first off say that I cannot tell you guys how good it feels to have the Los Angeles Lakers sitting where they're sitting. I cannot tell you how fantastic 6 years of not making the playoffs. This isn't an eighth seed. This isn't just trying to get into the postseason. This is arguably the best team in the NBA. And you can make a case for two, three teams out there that they're the best in the league right now, and the Lakers are one of them. You know, we've done, which is kind of crazy, Lakers talk for 4 years. April will be 4 years doing the show. And I know this is just the start of the Sliwa show, and we got a lot of other things we're going to talk about as well. But, of course, I'm going to start off with the Los Angeles Lakers, especially after that win against the Denver Nuggets yesterday. But looking at where the Lakers sit, it's fantastic to be talking about, all right, if they win this game, they got a four-game cushion in the Western Conference. Yeah, okay, if they lose to the Denver Nuggets, it's down to two. Just to have that conversation. Just to know that you have a legitimate chance of hoisting up number 17 across the street at Staples Center, this is a special year. I don't know how things are going to break out. I know that we're not parading down Figueroa when you win in the middle of February, but just to see where we are and where I believe we're going, it's special. And it feels great because it's been so long since the Lakers have been this competitive. Okay, back to the grade. What grade would you give the Lakers through the first half of the season? What grade would you give them? Best record in the Western Conference. Second best record in the entire NBA. Anthony Davis and LeBron James as advertised. The best duo in the league. Let's not waste our time with people going on different platforms and saying that there's any other duo that's better than those two. I think if anybody tries to make a case that there's a better duo than Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they're either not watching all the Los Angeles Laker games, or maybe they're trying to get some clicks, whatever the case is. We are obviously very, very well set up for the postseason. I'll tell you what my grade is. I'm going to give the Los Angeles Lakers to this point, I'm going to give them a B+. I was mentioning it to Mason and Ireland. Both of them had given them A's. By the way, I put this question up on Twitter. Ton of responses. Everybody has their different opinion, and that's a beautiful thing. We all kind of have our own views on our own thoughts and our own views on what we think and how we think this Lakers team is doing. This is why it's a B+. There's no such thing as an A+ unless you win an NBA championship, so we'll just take that, you know, right off the bat. We'll move that out of the way. The only reason why I don't give the Los Angeles Lakers an A, one reason only. And by the way, this can change in a very short period of time. This can change. The only reason why they don't get an A, you're 0-2 to the Los Angeles Clippers. You lost to the Milwaukee Bucks. You lost to the Boston Celtics. You lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. You lost against some teams, the Toronto Raptors. You lost against some legitimate teams out there that have a chance to win an NBA championship. That's the only reason why it's a B+. Sometimes I ask myself, are these role players consistent enough? If I felt, if I had more confidence maybe in Kyle Kuzma that he could step his game up to another level for the final 29 games of the season and in the postseason, maybe it changes a little bit. If we knew we had an established number three guy that we knew on a night-in, night-out basis, okay, there's 17, 18 points right there a game. If there were a couple things that I felt like I was more comfortable with or that I knew that I had in my mind, definitely, this role player is going to do this on a night-in, night-out basis, maybe it changes a little bit. Here's the beauty of where the Lakers sit right now. Not just the 41-12, but when we come back from the All-Star break, Boston's coming to L.A., Philly's coming to L.A., Milwaukee's coming to L.A., you get another crack at the Los Angeles Clippers, you get another road game against the Toronto Raptors, every team that I just mentioned that the Lakers have lost to, and that's not to downplay the wins the Lakers have had, you got two road wins at Denver. You got that win at Utah. You took care of business at the Houston Rockets. You've beat up on the Dallas Mavericks this season. You've had some great, great wins. But the beauty with the rest of the schedule is every team that you've lost against so far this year, you get another crack at. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. What would you grade the Los Angeles Lakers? We'll take your phone calls when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. What would you grade the Los Angeles Lakers? I never understand when they say we're halfway through the season. We're not halfway through the season. Halfway is 41 games. We're 12 games over 41. 53 games in, Lakers sitting at 41-12. 41-12. And a fantastic, fantastic cushion in the Western Conference right now. Do we got a score on that? I got to check the Celtics-Clippers game. This is... You know, I'm trying to think in my head, all right, who do you root for, the Celtics or the Clippers? I already got my answer. We could talk about that later. Tonight we're Celtics fans. We cheer for the Celtics. All right, let's go with Joey on the 405 freeway. Joey, if you got to give the Lakers a grade for what they've done this season, what are you giving them?
I give them a grade of A.
That's it?
No. Yeah. And by the way, Alan, you know they're telling you that you should name your show a Sliwa After Dark.
Yeah.
You know the acronym for that is SAD.
I did not think about that. I didn't think about that at all.
I wanted to mention also about the Morris trade, and you know the record for the
are they 0-2 right now? 0-2 with since the Morris trade.
Right, exactly. And including the Iguodala trade. What is Miami's record?
You know, listen, okay, well, what did you think of the trade? Because Clippers really didn't give up anything, right? They gave up some draft picks and Mo Harkless. You would have still done the trade. It's just obviously they're thinking big picture, right? I mean, even if they're 0-2 to this point, the thought process and the idea, you know why they made the trade, right?
Yeah, I honestly think they made the trade because they didn't want the Lakers to
make
the trade.
I agree, Joey. By the way, I agree. Now, listen, you're saying an A, so even with the loss to the two losses to the Clippers, the loss to the Bucks, some of these other teams, you're still giving them an A? I mean, you're saying their resume is good enough for an A no matter what?
Alan, I honestly think there is no team in the NBA that can go a seven-game series to the Lakers and win.
Well, listen, I think a lot of people will make that case. And that doesn't mean that, you know, a lot of these players for the Lakers aren't going to have to step up their game. That doesn't mean that Anthony Davis is going to have to be even better than he's been this year. That all the role players are going to have to step up their game. So I think this is the way I look at it. There's probably just one A in the league right now. What Milwaukee has done so far this year, to only have, I think, 8 losses. They lost yesterday. Giannis didn't play. Maybe it was the day before, whatever it was. That's the only team that I think I would give an A to. And what the Bucks have done this year and be sitting with the best record in the NBA and the way they've beat a lot of the elite teams as well. And again, I want to make sure I emphasize this. Lakers have beat elite teams. There's a perception right now that the Lakers have not beat elite teams. That's a misconception. They have done... like I mentioned, the Denver Nuggets of the world, the Utah Jazz, the Houston Rockets, but the upper echelon, you'd like to have got a couple wins And for my purposes, for my case, when you don't see that, that's enough for me to say, okay, look, it's a B plus. And I love the fact that we still get a chance to play all these teams again. Because you know Staples Center is going to be rocking when the Bucks come to town. You know on the 23rd of February when Boston's at Staples Center, it's going to be a fantastic energy and the Lakers trying to get some revenge. Same thing with the Sixers. Same thing when the Lakers play the Clippers and it's a Clippers home game and over 50% of the audience is Laker fans. So you know that those opportunities are going to come again. And I'm very, very curious to see how the Lakers do in that second go-around against some of these teams. Michael and Corona, you're on the Sliwa Show. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how are you? I kind of agree with you. I think I would give them a B to the fact that they lost to the Clippers. You know, they got lost to the Bucks, and also they have a couple of players like Kuzma that could is not really playing up to their potential.
You need more from them.
Yeah, what do you think about LeBron here? I know that he's a great all-around player. You know, he's a great playmaker. Why don't you think that he'll sit down and then talk to Kuzma and go, hey, what's up? What do you need from me? What do you need help with? You know, maybe boost him up?
Well, I'll tell you this, Michael. Look, I want to actually, let's do this. And every call that I take, I want you guys to give me your grade. And if there's any other Laker topic that you want to hit on, maybe you want to hit on that game yesterday against the Denver Nuggets. Maybe you want to hit on your expectations for the final 29 games of the season, Lakers versus Clippers. Whatever it is you want to hit on, you can do so, but just give me your Lakers grade. I'll say this on Kuzma real quick. I think I mentioned this, I might have mentioned it on Lakers Talk on Monday when we did the show, or Tuesday, whatever day it was. We had an expectation for Kuzma walking into this season that I don't think was a fair expectation, and that's myself included. Right off the bat, you know, walking into the year, I'm like, ah, Kuz, chalk him up for 17 points a game. Look at the floor spacing that he's going to get with AD and with LeBron James. There's going to be so much attention on these other stars. Kuzma's going to thrive for the Los Angeles Lakers. It sounded good, but here's the reality. The reality is he's playing less minutes. I think he looks confused sometimes of what his role is because he's a third-year player in the league that has never played with stars like this before. He's taking less shots. You know, you look at the third-best player with LeBron James in his two previous NBA championships. He won three of them, but just the two teams. In Miami, it was Chris Bosh, and in Cleveland, it was Kevin Love. Do you know how good Kevin Love and Chris Bosh were by the time they were playing with LeBron James? Do you know these guys were bona fide all-stars? Chris Bosh in Toronto and Kevin Love with the Minnesota Timberwolves at the time. These guys were legitimate stars in the NBA, all-stars in the NBA. Kuzma's nothing close to that. So we had an expectation and created this false narrative in our own minds. We sold ourselves to think, oh yeah, that's what Kuzma's going to be. And the reality is, I think just at this stage of his career, I'm not saying he can't be that player in 2, 3, 4 years, but he is not ready for that role right now. Nor do I think he has enough experience. And this isn't a knock on Kuz, I just think it's reality. Jason in Sherman Oaks. Jason, if you're giving the Lakers a grade right now, what grade are you giving them?
I'm giving them a B. Not only, I would say certain players get an A plus even for Dwight Howard, let's say, but I feel like a lot of our expectations have played into a B plus or a B due to, you know, the overshining ability of Avery Bradley or some of these players that haven't yet contributed as much as we would have hoped, you know?
Mm-hmm. Who are you going for tonight? If you have to pick between Boston and the Clippers, Who are you rooting for tonight?
100% the Celtics.
Isn't that weird?
It's 100% weird. I'm born in Los Angeles, and it's something that
I'm with you.
I would ever catch myself saying. But hey, you know,
we got to worry about our conference.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I appreciate you calling in. No, it is kind of funny. By the way, the Boston Celtics an 86-78 lead on the Los Angeles Clippers right now. They are in the third quarter with 2 minutes left. It just sounds weird. Sounds weird to say that, you know? Sounds weird to be talking about the Boston Celtics that we're rooting for them to win, but that's the reality.
I'm just rooting for there to be a loser. That's all I'm rooting for.
If the Celtics beat the Clippers, Clippers will have 18 losses on the season. Lakers have 12. Lakers will have a 6-game advantage in the loss column over the Los Angeles Clippers. That's pretty crazy. More of your guys' calls coming up next. We got to talk a little bit about Alex Caruso as well. I know that's a conversation. At least it's a conversation for me. Arash Markazi coming up at 7:30. More of your calls when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Yeah, that wasn't good.
Sliwa After Dark.
I got to remember that anything that comes off this mic can be used against me. That definitely was creepy as can be. By the way, they should have kept the promo going because I said that to Ramona. I'm like, Ramona, that wasn't good. That was actually sounded really creepy. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Arash Markazi coming up at 7:30. I'll obviously talk a lot about just the very, what's the right word? Very trustworthy Houston Astros. What a good organization.
What a... I can't.
Actually, today was sad for baseball. It really was that this is the conversation on the day that pitchers and catchers report. It was a... look, obviously you guys know how much I love the NBA, how much I enjoy this time of the year. We're getting close to the playoffs, all that stuff. Today was sad for baseball. It was literally sad for the game of baseball that the only conversation being had is how the hell the Houston Astros are good with getting that 2017 World Series number one and how the MLB hasn't vacated that World Series from them. Don't give them to anybody, but how do they still have it in their hands? We'll get into that in a little bit as well. All right, so on the Lakers and the game yesterday, and continuing the conversation is just what do you think of the Lakers right now? Their position, we're walking into the All-Star break, only 29 games left. If you had to give the Lakers a grade, me personally, I'm not giving them an A, I'm giving them a B+. I kind of listed my reasons why. It's a fantastic year. The fact that we're not just in a playoff conversation or, man, we're fighting for a top four, top five seed. No. Lakers are number one in the Western Conference. They have a 5-game lead over the Denver Nuggets in the loss column. If the Clippers lose tonight, they'll have a 6-game lead over them. They're playing the Boston Celtics right now, 91-87. Celtics with a 4-point lead. You couldn't have asked for a better start to the season. You couldn't have asked to be in a better position like the Lakers are in right now. The question comes down to, there are still question marks about this team, right? I can't give them an A personally because I've seen them play some of the elite in the NBA and they fell short. Now, in the next 30 days, you get another crack at all those teams right here at Staples Center. Only real road game that you have is Toronto, a team that's beat you in the Eastern Conference that you have to go to Toronto. Remember that game here at Staples, Toronto beat the Lakers. So that's kind of been my thought process. Plus, like I mentioned, there's role players that the Lakers have right now that aren't playing on a consistent basis. And then there's players stepping up out of nowhere. How about Alex Caruso yesterday? I was mentioning this to, you know, John and Mace. How do you have a plus 23 or plus 22, whatever he was in the plus minus, and your team only won by 4? How does that happen? That was Alex Caruso's line yesterday. Dwight Howard was huge. KCP had 4 steals for the Lakers. It seems like when one player doesn't step up, there's another player that fills the void. All right, Paul in Orange County. Paul, what do you think of the Lakers so far as we get to the All-Star break? How would you grade them?
Hi, Alan. I love your show, man. You always say it the way you see it without sugarcoating it.
Appreciate it.
I give the Lakers a B-. And I'm not talking only about players. I'm talking about the coaching staff and their ability or inability to motivate some players. And I'm talking specifically about Kuzma and Green.
Mm-hmm.
They have been a big disappointment. And at the same time, the coaching staff, again, not utilizing somebody like Alex Caruso with his 100% effort on both sides of the court. And also super maximizing both our two stars, which is basically, I don't know how, I mean, we always... We take a deep breath every time LeBron take a hit or,
sure,
or AD, and I think the other players should pick up the slack for the team for LeBron and AD, because there's a long road ahead of us. And if anybody's going to say the Lakers will take it up a notch in the playoffs, well, the other teams will do that too. So that is my biggest disappointment with the coaching staff. Although they are not a triple A coaches, if you look at the bench, but collectively they are amazing as a coaching group, and they should find a way to motivate the players to put together more effort to help LeBron, AD. Again, the bright spot is Caruso and Dwight Howard. You cannot say good enough how great they've been to us.
Appreciate it, Paul. Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, man. Man, we are a critical fan base, aren't we? By the way, I'm with him. I gave him a B plus. Here we are. Look how good the Lakers are in the Western Conference right now, and we're throwing out Bs like this team is sixth in the West. Expectations are ridiculous this season, but that's okay. That's what you want. You know, you want, if you're a fan base out there, if you're the front office right now, you're the Los Angeles Lakers organization, this is exactly what you want. Your fan base sitting here, you know, obviously in Los Angeles, drive time, talking about the Lakers having a chance to win an NBA championship. Think about where we were a year ago. And that's the expectations, and that's the bar that this organization has obviously set for the Los Angeles Lakers and the fan base. This is the spot we want to be in, you know? And I give actually, and I know a lot of Laker fans have done this as well, I give credit where it's due, where we're sitting right now, off-season acquisitions, what LeBron and Anthony Davis have done, what the front office for the Lakers have done to put the team in this position to have a chance at an NBA championship. But the beauty is we're nitpicking because we think this team is great. We think this team should be great. We know that we're this close away from getting an opportunity, probably going in a 7-game set against the Los Angeles Clippers to get to the NBA Finals. I know I'm thinking very far ahead, but this is what you want. Can you think about the last couple of years? You know what I was doing this time of the season 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I was looking to see, I was playing the draft lottery. All right, where are the Lakers going to be? Are they going to get a fourth pick? Are they going to get a sixth pick? Are they going to get a two pick? Are they going to get a one pick? We're not doing that anymore. So it's a great position to be in. I'll say this. Paul was just mentioning from Orange County, he was talking about how the rotations from head coach Frank Vogel, it's going to be, this is my opinion here, it's going to be very, very difficult to make a case the rest of the season to not get Alex Caruso more playing time. It's going to be very difficult. I have a difficult time yesterday during the game, third quarter. I don't think Caruso played the entire third quarter. And you could tell there was a difference. Look, I'm not telling you Alex Caruso is Scottie Pippen on the basketball court. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. But I feel good things happen when Alex Caruso is on the floor. I feel good, whether it's better defensive rotation, whether it's just hustle plays, whether it's just energy, whatever it is, when Caruso's on the floor, I feel like good things happen. What do you got over there, Jess?
Well, you know, and that's, you know, the big thing is, I feel like this is the whole season, is Rondo is not playing the way we all thought and the way we all want him to play. And you know what? He has like a good game every month or so. Why not? And this is, you know, what I'm sure the Lakers would say. We sign up for the playoffs, just like the rest of the veteran guys that they're on the roster.
And they're by the way, they can make a case there, right?
They definitely can. They definitely can. But here's what I say to that. All right, rest Rondo. Give Caruso the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Why not make him as healthiest and as fresh as he can be for the playoffs and give Caruso the minutes? Because Caruso's young, as Michael says, and he can play all the minutes he wants. And he's shown that he can. He contributes. He's shown his worth. He's shown
it's
he can play
very,
defense.
Very difficult, Jess. If you're watching or listening to the game yesterday, okay, on social media, everyone was talking about Caruso. Get Caruso in the game. Get Caruso. I'm just telling you, from a fan perspective, it's going to be very difficult to play Caruso 15 to 18 minutes a game. Right? I think moving forward, there's going to be pressure to play him more.
Definitely.
Because fan bases or people just observing the games, myself included, right? I'm watching that game in the third quarter. I'm like, coach, put him in. Let's get him in there. We need him to go up against some of these guards that the Denver Nuggets have. We need just his energy on the floor. We could use it, right? And he's a, you know, it's tough to kind of describe Caruso. He's a pesky defender. He doesn't mind putting his, you know, his chin right under people's elbows. Like, there are little things that he does. Again, I'm not saying go, you know, let's praise Alex Caruso as top five greatest Laker. I'm just saying when he's on the floor, I feel like good things happen to this team. That's the point I'm making.
He knows his role, and he knows that everyone else can do the big things. He just needs to make sure to fill in those little things. And that's what he's done all season long, whether it's taking charges, hitting that occasional three, getting steals,
cutting to the basket,
oh,
deflections.
He understands it, and I think it just flows better with him than Rondo at this point.
This is going to be, and I know I'm kind of taking a right here, but I'm going to keep going. This is going to be, I think, an important period for Kuzma too, right? So we come back now, 29 games left. This is a critical stage for Kuz. If Kuzma, for example, we know he's gifted offensively, but if Kuzma, for example, let's say he's not giving you 15, 17 points a game, but Kuz is grabbing 8, 9 rebounds a game, and he's hustling all over the floor, and he's just doing things to help you win, the noise is going to quiet down on Kuz. If it's just about, all right, and by the way, I don't think, you know, I really genuinely don't think Kuz is walking into games and he's thinking in his head, I got to get this many shots up, I got to score this many points. I don't think he's doing that. Like, I really do feel like Kuz is trying to do the right things. I think there's just, you know, certain stages of your career where you might be thinking more than naturally reacting. There's things that Kuz is doing right now that Danny Green doesn't have to do because he's been in the league for this long.
Yeah, and I think that's where Kuz is struggling, because the first year he came in, no one really thought he was going to do anything, or no one even really
expectations
knew.
Really
extremely
were that
low.
High. By the way, and expectations were low for the team.
Uh-huh. And then he blew up, and then the second year he was, you know, probably the best player next to LeBron when he was on the court. Mm-hmm. And then this year, now all of a sudden he's
now
the
there's
third,
expectations
fourth best player, and it just it's showing that, you know, I it feels to me that he's a guy that needs to start. He needs to get those minutes. He needs to be warmed up. Because when he gets off the bench, he's trying to warm up where everyone else is already warmed up.
Jess, he had this stretch, I think 2 out of 3 games he had. One game, maybe 12 rebounds. Another game, 15 rebounds. Something like that. And I remember doing the post-game show for those, and I'm like, I really don't care how he did with his shots. I really don't care about his how many points he had. That's winning basketball. You do that for a Lakers team that already is going to get points from AD. They're going to get points from LeBron. They're... Offense isn't an issue for the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers are going to have an issue on offense. One night, Avery Bradley might give you 15. Rondo might give you 23. A KCP might give you 18. Those are just going to kind of happen. But you have to find ways when you're on the floor to help your team. Caruso's doing that. Dwight Howard's doing that. KCP, I feel like a lot of the time, is doing that. But I don't feel like, you know, with some of these other role players... I don't feel like that's happening on a consistent basis. All right, let me take one more quick call here. Matt in Valencia. Matt, what's your take real quick? You got to kind of assess the Lakers so far this year. What grade would you give them?
Hey, Alan. Man, you guys are being tough on them. I'd give these guys an A. Let me tell you why. First of all, probably a top four team in the NBA. Top four team for sure in the NBA.
No question about that. Yeah, you can't. I wouldn't argue that at all.
91% win rate. I want it 91% win rate. I mean, what more can you ask at this point? First in the, you know, West, you've kind of said a few of these points that stand out to me. I think where we're at right now, yes, we haven't beat the best teams, but in a playoff series at any moment, I'd take the Lakers. I think they're an A right now.
You know, I think, you know, Matt, I'll say this real quick. When you say in a 7-game set, does Denver scare you?
I mean, I'm not saying they won't compete.
No. What I was going to say is Denver doesn't scare me. Utah doesn't scare me. Like, there's a lot of teams that don't scare me. So I'm with you on that point. In a 7-game set, I think the Lakers increase their likelihood to win in a 7-game set. But I'll let you keep going. Keep going.
Right. And I think the guys that are giving the Lakers a B grade right now are the ones that have expectations that they specifically set for Kyle Kuzma. And I think that's
a good
the
point.
Big problem right now mm-hmm. is that we shouldn't have an expectation of Kuzma being this third guy. We have two superstars on this team who are top four players in the NBA. We all know that. The third player or the third thing that we should look at for this team and the big reason why Alex Caruso is standing out is that person that fills this gap of what we need. The plus 22 is he's clearly doing everything that's missing mm-hmm. that LeBron and AD need, that fill-in void. He's just perfecting it and doing it right.
Can we get Kuz to do that? You know what I mean? Like, can we get Kuz to do that? And I don't listen. I'm not saying Kuz got to put up 17 points with 12 rebounds, but
right.
10 points with 8 rebounds. Okay. You know, right. build off of that. Matt, we're coming up to a commercial break, but I appreciate you calling in. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that has the world has been waiting for. Live on pay-per-view Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. Got to get this fight. How good is that? Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Pay-per-view Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. We come back. More of your guys' phone calls. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Kay in Hollywood, you're on the Sliwa Show. Go ahead, Kay.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
If I had to grade the Lakers, I would say B-. The reason why, nobody's talking about Rob Pelinka.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that should have pulled the trigger at the deadline. If he couldn't have got Morris, then he should have went and got possibly Rose, or like you were saying, the Lakers need a third, fourth option, and like an actual guaranteed 17 consistent. They're racing with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry West, the logo strikes again, gets Marcus Morris. Why? Because you always need more shooters and more defenders, and he's a veteran. And it's like, it's almost like Pelinka was just like sitting back, chilling, just like, okay, we can't get Morris. We're good where we're at because we got 41 wins. But it's not just about the wins, because your competition, like you said, is against the Clippers, the Celtics, the Sixers. Those teams are stacked. You got to use your assets and say, you know, let's part with Kuzma. He's up and down. Let's get somebody more proven.
Kay, the only thing about that, so this is, look, we're not behind the scenes, so I felt like this, and you give me your thoughts on it as well. I felt like the Knicks were asking a lot more from the Lakers than what the Knicks were asking from the Clippers. Or the Knicks just wanted picks, something that the Lakers couldn't provide. You know what I mean? So, like, even if the Lakers wanted to give them what you're referring to, and you know that I'm a Morris fan, I thought he'd be a great fit for the Lakers. The problem is, I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. So I have no idea if at the end of the day, the Knicks were more willing to do a deal with the Clippers because there was a first rounder and a second rounder, something that the Lakers didn't have.
I understand that, you know, more going on behind the scene. They don't have a lot of picks, but then again, you got to ask yourself, you got Collison out there, you got J.R. Smith out there. And I know a lot of people give J.R. Smith a bad rap, but to me, hey, I think he's a better shooter than Kuzma. So you could easily bring him back. He's won a championship with LeBron. So if you go out and get, you know, a Marcus Morris, hey, maybe you got to give him more. Let's deal Kuz. Let's deal. We still got Quinn Cook. I mean, there's players that.
I know what you mean, Kay. I know what you're saying is, and I can't disagree with you that, because I've said this on the show a number of times, and I appreciate you calling into the show, but I've said this a number of times. I felt like, okay, we still need another piece, right? Maybe I'm wrong, by the way. I hope I'm wrong. And I think that, you know, as we get to the second half of the season or the final 29 games, we're also going to these players that know they're going to be on this roster. They know that's going to be on this team. If there's one thing the Lakers have over the Clippers, I'm going to tell you right now, aside from the top two players in the NBA two of the top three, the best duo in the NBA, Lakers have some legitimate chemistry, real chemistry, right? The Clippers have had a lot of different players in and out of the lineup. The Lakers, I don't feel like that's been the case. That's one strength that the Lakers have. Is that going to be enough? Plus LeBron James and Anthony Davis to get it done? I don't have that answer. We're going to, you know, obviously have to wait till the postseason. And I definitely am looking forward to the Lakers getting another crack at the Los Angeles Clippers. as far as players like J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters, some of these other players that, you know, we've kind of heard some of those names thrown around, I don't know. Those just don't do it for me. Do I think that's going to be the difference of winning a series or not? I just don't think that does it for me. And I've always said that I think I value wing players more than these guards because the Lakers already have so many guards. Caruso, KCP, Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo, Troy Daniels, Quinn Cook, Danny Green. We got so many guys that are within 2-3 inches size-wise of each other. What we don't have enough of is wings. Brandon in Inglewood. Brandon, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, Allen, man? Hey, man, this is a good conversation that you're having, man. And I think two key pieces I want to touch on. First of all, I'm giving the Lakers B+, A-, right? Reason why I don't give them an A+ is because they are behind in the competition, right? And,
which one?
And we all know
Brandon, pick one. Pick one. B+ or A-? Give me one of them.
All right, man. I'll give them a B+.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
They're behind the Clippers, and the Clippers is their only competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about guys like Caruso. Caruso is a very nice player, right? But Caruso, where he's going to lack and why he's not going to get the big-time minutes, especially in pressure situation, is because of his lack of scoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you said that the Lakers have a lot of scoring options, but I agree with the last caller, right? We're going to need that third consistent option, right? Because when you look at Lou Williams, he is that third consistent option, right? You got Paul George, you got Kawhi Leonard, and you got Lou Williams, right? So in that sense, we are behind the Clippers, and Kuzma needs to be that guy. They need to let him go out there and just score.
Brandon, do you think he will be that guy? Like, I know what you're saying, but do you think this season, just as a, and this is just your honest opinion, do you think with 29 games left that you think he can be that player that maybe we've envisioned?
I don't, and the reason why is because Kuzma has been coached too much throughout his career. Last time when he was with Luke Walton, they were trying to get Kuzma to be an all-around player, be a guy who makes passes, be a guy who gets his teammates involved. And this year, they're trying to get him to do similar things, right? They want him to play defense. They want him to rebound. Kuzma needs to be a guy like Lou Williams who go out and just get buckets,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think he's been coached. And like you said, he's thinking too much. And that's a coach. When you got a player out there who has talent like Kuzma and he's thinking too much, that's a coaching staff. And that's a problem. And that's something that Kuzma has had throughout his career, right?
But I think Brandon too, and I appreciate you calling in. I want to get a couple more calls in before we have to go to break. But I think he needs that coaching too, because this isn't a team that's 8 games, 10 games, 15 games below 500, and you're like, all right, just go out there and play. If Kyle Kuzma is playing for the New York Knicks, he'll have the green light to do whatever he wants, and they're going to lose 50+ games. But that's not the case with the Lakers. You have to have players that know their role on this team. If Robert Horry was a player back in the days that can just have the green light, take shots anytime he wants, or Lamar Odom or any of these other players, is that right for the team? You know what I mean? And that's why I was making a case a little bit earlier. We were talking about Alex Caruso. When Caruso's on the floor, I'm not saying good things happen every time, but I feel like good things happen when Caruso's on the floor. It doesn't have to just be scoring. It doesn't just have to be having the ball in your hands. There's other things he does that is beneficial to the team. Kuz has to understand that. Okay, it doesn't have to be 15, 18, 20 points a night. When you're on the floor, are you making decisions? Are you doing things that's helping your team win games or lose games? I'm sure everybody who tunes into this broadcast, you've played pickup basketball before. In pickup basketball, there are players that just find a way to help you win, and there's other guys that find a way to help you lose. And I'm not saying Kuz is either one of those right now, but he has to, there's a lot of things he's going to have to learn in a short amount of time. Let's put it that way. All right, quick update here. The Celtics up 114, 111 against the Los Angeles Clippers. There is about a minute and a half left. Clippers just turned the ball over. Celtics got the ball. How weird is this? We're cheering for the Celtics. What the hell is going on in this world?
No, we're cheering for a loser. That's all we're cheering for.
No, I'm cheering for the Celtics.
Oh, I'm cheering for a loser.
all right, Celtics with a 3-point lead. All right, Arash Markazi at, you said 740-ish?
Yeah, 740.
All right, 740, Arash Markazi. More of your guys' phone calls. Laker fans, where are you guys? How come I have one phone line that's still available? Come on, Laker fans. I thought L.A. was a Laker town. What the hell happened to L.A.? 877-710-ESPN. More of you guys' phone calls. We come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.